throws Lance in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back. Been a long, long time. We certainly have missed you. And to make up for lost time, we're going to provide you with one hell of a show today. A couple quick news and notes. We definitely want to congratulate friend of the program, NDSU baseball coach Todd Brown, on not only a phenomenal season, but of course his acceptance of the job at New Mexico, a substantial pay raise, and a chance for his family to move home. Todd being from the American Southwest, being an Arizona native and alum of the Arizona Wildcats, getting really close there in Albuquerque, to moving home. Very excited for him and his family. Also, exciting news for the rest of the Summit League that isn't Oral Roberts, as we are approaching NBA draft deadline tomorrow. But all signs are pointing to Max Asmus staying in the NBA draft because his running mate, Kevin O'Banner, has hit the transfer portal and has hit high major interest, including the University of North Carolina, among other several big-time programs looking for the big man to make a potential big impact on their program. O'Banner has heard from Arizona, Notre Dame, Georgetown, and as I mentioned, the University of North Carolina. He has also been a part of the NBA draft process, but is not going to, I don't think likely stay in the draft. Says he's worked out for Golden State, worked out for the Cavs, worked out for Philly, worked out for Orlando. I would guess Kevin O'Banner goes high major and then tries to get into next year's draft. But that's big, big news for the Summit League, including North Dakota State, who've added Andrew Coleman, who've added Willie Guy, looking for big leaps forward from Scumberg and McKinney, Grant Nelson. I think if you are NDSU and you are South Dakota State, right now you are looking head and shoulders above the rest of the Summit League with what's gone on in Omaha, not knowing what the deal is with St. Thomas yet, what has now gone on at Oral Roberts, knowing, Plitzewhite unlikely to make a full recovery. It's looking like a two-horse race in the Summit League unless there are major steps forward from some of the supporting cast there at Oral Roberts, O'Banner and Asmus being just such a big part of what they were able to accomplish over the last 2 years, and of course, specifically last year. But as I mentioned, we have just a phenomenal, phenomenal show for you today. We have the newest member of the NDSU class of 2022, that being football recruiting, with Northwood, Kelby Azure. Kelby is a hometown kid from my hometown in Northwood. Plays for the Hatton Northwood Thunder, who will drop back down to nine-man this year. And Kelby now gets an opportunity to be another potentially big part of NDSU's program, coming from nine-man football in the state of North Dakota. He's a really, really impressive athlete with his size. Can play O-line, D-line, but I think he's going to play a little fullback and linebacker in nine-man. Those older folks can maybe get the Andrew Grothman comp in that he's just going to be the biggest, baddest dude on the field at all times, and is likely to play, kind of off the ball both ways, getting ahead of steam. He's going to be tough to bring down. He's going to be fun to watch, and a great addition to the crew chiefs. We're going to probably do a wrap-up, not a wrap-up, but kind of like a pod where we get a recruiting expert in here, whether it's Ryan Burns or somebody else, and kind of break everything down, try and get you caught up with the class. As happens often, North Dakota State has made some inroads after their camp. But it's a little different for us, you know, on our side, paying attention to what they're doing. This, and I think it's a credit to them, but this staff doesn't really differentiate between PWOs and scholarship kids. So it's not always super easy to really grasp who is a scholarship kid, who is not a scholarship kid. And while it's not necessarily super important for the way that they're building the program, it is important for the way that we're kind of tracking things and the way that, you know, some of these kids are seen on 24/7 sports and stuff like that. Again, there are, you know, scholarship kids and walk-ons alike that have made massive, massive impacts on North Dakota State's fortunes, mostly in a positive way. But we just, as a site, as kind of a, as a Bison Report community, we just need to get a better grasp, I think, on kind of what's all going on. But we know for sure that Kelby Azure was a scholarship kid, had very high major interest in Nebraska. I think Iowa State reached out, had full-on offers from UND. I know both South Dakota schools were interested and had an offer or opportunity at the highest level of Division II as well, with MSU Mankato, you know, being a championship caliber program, looking at him as well. So Kelby being an addition to this scholarship class, and then we've got Easton Stick. And I'll kind of explain some stuff about that interview once we get to it, because it was pretty special. And really, I think just the circumstances, which don't necessarily lead to the greatest audio in the world, the circumstances of that interview just talk, I think, a little bit to what a phenomenal human being Easton Stick is and how much I appreciate his time and getting to know him, you know, over the last, gosh, I don't know how many years since we recovered his high school recruitment, now to his third year with the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll get to that in a bit. But right now, Hatton Northwood's Kelby Azure.
I'm ready.
All right, here with Hatton Northwood's Kelby Azure. And I know how to say that name because I am a product of Hatton Northwood and know his dad, Shane, the superintendent down there. And it just like I said, you know, back when we did this in March while the Summit League basketball tournament was going on, it was pretty cool to get together and do a piece on a member of Thunder Pride. How you doing, Kelby?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm great, but not as good as you. Congratulations on your commitment to North Dakota State.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So kind of walk me through the beginning steps. Some of our listeners that are VIP members have, you know, kind of read our earlier communications, but not everybody, you know, is VIP. We're here on the pod, and people want to know when did North Dakota State first show interest in you? Which coaches were they, and kind of how did COVID affect sort of the whole situation?
So it was earlier in the fall, so more towards the beginning of school. Coach Hedberg reached out via Twitter DM. We went back and forth for a good amount of time, and then I believe it was right around Christmas break, I had my first phone call with them, and then things just set into place over those next 3 months, whether it was phone calls with them or graphics, or just messages through Twitter, or even mail, just a little postcard with a message. And then they offered at the end of March, and things just fell into place from there.
And just so kind of everybody gets a grasp on Hatton Northwood football and what you've been doing, has there been a transition between 9-man and 11-man, or, you know, class single A, class double A? It's hard to keep track sometimes with the class system in the state of North Dakota. What level have you played at during your career?
Freshman year, we were 9-man. Then we got bumped up my sophomore year to 11-man. Junior year, this past year, was 11-man. Now we're going back down to 9-man this year.
Okay. And what positions have you played? Where do you anticipate playing in 9-man this year?
freshman, sophomore, and the beginning of junior has always been O-line, D-line. But now, at the end of the year, it was fullback, middle linebacker. And that's where I'm anticipated this year, fullback, middle linebacker, and then tight end at some times, and maybe even get thrown out with the wideouts.
Wow. Okay, that sounds like you're a big kid to be thrown out there with the wideouts. What are you height and weight and speed right now?
The best 40 I ran was a 5.08.
Okay.
The best track 100 time was a 12.57. I'm standing about 6'4", 230 right now.
Have you talked to North Dakota State's coaching staff about where they see you?
Yes. Coach Entz said I'm going to start off at tight end, and if my body – adapts well to gaining weight, then there definitely could be a change from tight end to offensive line. But say my body doesn't adapt to all that, then tight end will be a fit, because he kind of compared me to Cody Mauch, the starting right tackle, and how he came in. He came in as a tight end about my build, 6'4", 225, and he built from there. And now he's, I want to say 6'5", 290, if I'm correct. And that he's a starting lineman for them. So that's kind of how they walked me through it.
Yeah, and another kind of do-it-all small-town guy. And that brings me to my next question and just kind of your feelings on whether it's the Volson brothers. I mean, just the list of small-town North Dakota kids. Carson Schoening. I mean, I can go on and on. I'm sure NDSU staff has made you well aware of just the tradition of small town kids that when North Dakota State was going Division One, everybody was afraid would never get a chance to wear the green and gold. Talk to me about that tradition and how excited you are to kind of step into that spot.
I remember in eighth grade watching Cody Mauch down in Hatton, and he was all over the place. And I remember one call with Hedberg, and he was like, and I believe it was a 2018 team. Their whole offensive line was 9-man football players, and they made it pretty clear that 9-man football players, small town guys, have had a ton of success at NDSU.
Yeah, there's no question about it. It's quite a foundation that has been built. But despite that kind of lack of exposure, if you will, you had plenty of opportunity to play college football elsewhere. Can you kind of run us down the list of teams that have offered or the teams that were interested in you? Because this was, you know, you picked North Dakota State out of a lot of schools.
I had offers from UND, NDSU, the Ivy League, Dartmouth, and then the Army out at West Point. And then I had a Division II offer from Minnesota Mankato. And then SDSU and USD both showed some good interest, and then Nebraska was a pretty heavily interest, but they got back and said they, with the super seniors, they did not have a roster spot, and at that position they actually took a guy in from in town, so they already won over their quota, you say, at their position, so that just didn't work out.
Yeah, it's an aspect not everybody's remembering of how your class has to deal with these super seniors and fewer spots, than would normally be available to the graduating class of 2022. No doubt about it. Where do you kind of see yourself fitting in? Is Cody a really good archetype for you, or is there an aspect to the tight end position that you loved? Would you like to try and get the football in your hands a little bit? I mean, where do you see yourself fitting in?
I like tight end because right now I'm sitting 230, and offensive line, to play at that caliber of Division One football, you're going to have to be 290, 230 on the offensive line. And I like the aspect of being 255, 260, and still having that blocking aspect of football in there.
Ultimately, Kelby, just let me know, why NDSU? I mean, you had, like I said, all these other opportunities, Division One chance, certainly with the University of North Dakota, to play closer to home than Fargo is. Why North Dakota State?
The coaching staff, I wanted to be more than just like a number going in. I wanted to be like someone, I wanted to be known and feel like a part of something rather than just a number, say. So they really made me feel like home. It wasn't just a position coach or a recruiter, area code, recruit me. It was the whole staff. There would be plenty of people reaching out. I went down to their 3-day camp, and almost, I believe, every coach said hi, and it was a first name thing, and it just, it was comforting and made it feel like home. And it was the coaching staff that definitely hammered home for me.
All right, Kelby, well, one last one, and I'm going to let you go. I'm just going to give you like 30 to 40 seconds here to just sort of send a message to Bison Nation about how excited you are and what your plans are once you get to Fargo.
I'm pumped. I'm ready. I'm excited to be part of Bison football, and I just want to be another small town kid to have a successful story down at NDSU.
All right. Pride of the hat in Northwood Thunder, Kelby Azure. Thanks so much for your time, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Want to thank Kelby for his time. Want to thank him for making himself available to me, and want to just let him know how much we appreciate him taking the time to kind of let Bison Nation know where his head is at and really keep us informed about his recruitment and sort of what sets North Dakota State apart from some of the other schools recruiting him. That was really fun to talk about it. And I think, you know, as hey, he's a hat in Northwood kid. He's going to be phenomenal. You know, he's going to be a good kid, going to have a good head on his shoulders. That's what that part of the state produces. No questions. All right. Getting now into my interview with Easton Stick. And, you know, like I said, we covered Easton's recruitment, covered him for 5 years at North Dakota State. I wrote the cover story for his final game, obviously the national championship win over Eastern Washington. I'm looking at it right now with the Big Seven in the background, one of the coolest covers they've ever done. I've got it hanging up in the office here, to Ross from Eastick 12 with his signature on it, man. It's a special deal hanging here in the green and gold studio, in the Bison Report studios in Horace. And what was so special about it, honestly, is just the young man. This young man had a million obligations this week, coming back, being in town, and, you know, between everything he did with Carson Wentz's foundation, all of the media requests that he had, all the workouts he feels like he needs to get in to stay at the top of his game, and then just teammates and family and people that, you know, everybody's pulling at you when you're a professional athlete. And I was one of those people. I was one of those people pulling at Easton, and tried to set something up, you know, here in the studio. We were going to try to get it done, and it just wouldn't work, but that was not good enough for Easton. And so that din that you kind of hear in the background of this interview is actually the ice machine in the trainer's room at Newman Outdoor Field. Easton grabbed me, was like, "Hey, dude, let's do this right now. I cannot make it work the next week. We're going to have to do this right now." But it was important to him that it got done. I think, you know, getting this done about 55 minutes before they started the Audience of One softball game, they're at Newman Outdoor Field. You know, we're kind of shooting from the hip, and I think that's sometimes when you get the best audio or you get kind of the best questions is just me and Easton having a conversation about ball and life. And I really think you guys are going to enjoy my catching up here a little bit with Easton Stick.
All right, here with San Diego. San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers quarterback Easton Stick. How are we doing, buddy?
Really good.
Talk to me about that a little bit. The kind of the newness and the excitement of a brand new facility, a brand new stadium. I mean, this all has to be pretty cool.
No, it is, and there's a lot going on. We got a new staff. You know, SoFi is unbelievable. Got to be in it last year. Really excited for people to see it because, I mean, this building is one of a kind and is set apart from, I think, any other experience you'll have as a fan. So being in that building, that fires guys up. And then just having a new coaching staff, I think that change brings a ton of excitement. Their vision has been awesome. Their communication has been great. They've done a really good job, I think, being intentional and getting to know guys. And so we're really fired up going into the fall.
What's that like with, you know, obviously Brandon is a defensive coach. I mean, there's no question about it. Anthony Lynn was an offensive-minded head coach. What's it like having a head guy? I mean, that's kind of the NDSU experience right. for you, is that the defensive guys are kind of in charge. What's that all been like?
It's been awesome. Honestly, there's a lot of similarities between Coach Staley and Coach Kleiman. Defensive head coaches, but at the same time, Coach Staley played quarterback in college.
Okay.
And played for Coach Lombardi, who's our offensive coordinator. And a lot of that language is the same for those guys to what we're doing. So he can come in and has sat in the quarterback meetings and can speak with us. And here's what defenses are trying to do. Here's how they're attacking it. Here's what can hurt them. And so all that stuff. And it's really similar. Coach Kleiman did the same thing for me when I was here with NDSU. And so it's been a lot of fun. His capacity is awesome. His leadership is great. So it's going to be a really good experience, I think.
Let's go back to, before we get into too much more stuff what you have going on, let's kind of talk about North Dakota State, because I would argue it's pretty much unrivaled in college football, the run of the kind of the NFL draft capital of Carson and then you and then Trey. Yeah. It's very difficult to find. What is it about this place that gets you guys ready for that? And also, what kind of bond does that create? And I know you mentioned, like, don't forget about Brock either.
Right, no doubt. Brock, throw Cole in there. Guys that have just been around the program, shoot, throw James Hendricks in there.
Yeah.
Just guys that, like, you just need good people in that room, because when you have strong relationships in the quarterback room, it lifts everybody up. It's hard, and it's hard for the guy playing, it's hard for the guy not playing, for different reasons, obviously. But when you have a group that sticks together like that, it becomes pretty special. And for us to be as close as we are, I think says a lot. Says a lot about the leadership at the university, at the program, and that's where it starts. I mean, it's just been good people, coach after coach, that does a really good job setting the culture. You know, you put others before yourself, and I think it's just so important to learn that, to lead that way, and I think that's the biggest thing. Obviously, the offense prepares you just with the terminology, being in a huddle. You're setting protections at the line of scrimmage. You're getting in and out of plays. All that stuff is what you're doing at the next level, and so that mental jump is maybe a little bit smaller than some other guys just because of what we're doing. But really, I think the foundation is in the people, and that's why it's been successful.
Well, I want to ask you about giving back, because it's something that really kind of inspires me, and I get a big kick out of just the way that Carson is able to round up buddies that he played with for this, for his, you know, like the event in Oxbow, and obviously guys are extremely giving with the ability, you know, to donate items for the silent auction and raise money for this thing. I mean, how cool is it to do stuff like that? And then you guys did a kind of a clinic. You and Carson did a clinic for the kids. I mean, that has to just be so fulfilling.
Yeah, it's awesome. We love coming back here and be able to give back any way we can. This community has given us so much, like more than I think they'll ever understand, to me, my family, to all of our families. And so it means a lot to be able to come back here, be around some of the youth, be at the, you know, here at the softball game, at Carson's events and things like that. And as much as we can be involved, we want to. And so hopefully it's something that continues to grow and we find new ways to interact with the community and keep being a part of it.
I want to talk about your time with the Chargers now and kind of your situation, because you're in an interesting spot as far as you get drafted immediately the next season. They take the QB high, he's the starter, so you're older than the guy playing in front of you,
mm-hmm.
which is not a familiar spot for you. Talk to me about your relationship with Justin and just kind of your approach, not being the guy who goes out there for 60 minutes.
Yeah, well, it's definitely been a transition, and I think still trying to learn and manage all of that, and I think you continually have to. But working with Justin has really been great. He's awesome. I mean, just a guy that you want to root for. He works hard. I mean, he's as authentic and as genuine of a dude as you'll ever meet. He's goofy and fun to be around. And like I said, just works hard and really earned the respect of that locker room really quick, just by the way he goes about his business. And so he's someone that would fit in really well here. You know, he's that type of person. And so easy to cheer for. And then it's just about finding the balance between lifting him up and helping him prepare. And then also, at the end of the day, you got to be ready to go, because a lot of people are counting on you if and when you do step in that huddle. So it's a balance, and I'm trying to figure it out still. But like I said, I've been around really good quarterbacks and guys like Tyrod, who have had balance that role, you know, their whole career. So I've been fortunate that way.
You had some openers put in for you, some ability to get on the field. I think a lot of people, when you had as good of an NFL combine as you did, started talking about Taysom and some of the quarterbacks that kind of come in for specific packages. How much do you kind of hope for that and hope to get on the field and hope to contribute? And how much are you still like, no, I'm a quarterback, and when I get my chance, I can be a 65-play quarterback?
Yeah, well, I definitely feel that way. I definitely feel like I can play the position and be a guy, and that's the goal, and then I'll continue to work as hard as I can for that. But in the meantime, like, I want to win football games. Yeah. I'm just telling you, there's nothing worse than walking in the locker room on Sunday and watching the tape on Monday after a loss. Like, you just put so much into it. Everyone does, and it matters so much to so many people that when you lose, it's tough. And so at the end of the day, we want to win football games. I want to win football games. And so however we got to do that, let's do it. I'm all for it. But I'm working hard and hopefully be ready for my opportunity.
I'm going to ask you one NDSU question, then we're going to let you go. I'm going to ask you to handicap the quarterback race, because in my opinion, I feel like Trey was kind of the front runner when you were done. I don't even know if there is a front runner this year. Cole Payton, very interesting. Quincy Patterson, very interesting. And they've had other guys like Cam Miller, who just started the national quarterfinal for them. What do you see in that room, and what are you kind of looking for in fall camp?
Yeah, it's just crazy already, even a few years. I was never in the room with any of those guys.
I know.
You know, which is so weird to think about. Like, you don't feel that far removed from it.
Trey early entering in the draft is a weird thing for North
Carolina. Yeah, I don't think they planned for that. But, no, you know, I would say this about Cam, number one, like, super impressed with what he did this spring. Like, to be put in that situation, and I think back to when I first got here, and shoot, I was in uniform every Saturday, and who knows what the heck I would have looked like if they threw me out there, because I know what I looked like in 15, and I had a whole year to learn and to get reps and all that stuff. And so props to Cole, or excuse me, to Cam, and just he competed hard and he led those guys, and I, you know, appreciate that. I think everybody does. So, you know, throwing Quincy, throwing Cole, and it's going to be fun. Competition is good for everybody. It's good for the program. And I know the way they practice in the fall, these guys are going to get so many reps. They're all going to be prepared, whoever it is. Shoot, if all three of them have to play, if six guys got to play, they're going to be prepared because of the way they practice, because of how Coach Hebert teaches, how Coach Roll is going to get them ready. So it's going to be fun. I know that. It sounds like they're all great dudes. So they're going to do a good job.
Thanks, Easton. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Ross.
And again, we apologize for the audio issues there. That was unavoidable. You know, we have a beautiful studio here in Horace with some top-of-the-line equipment, and that was recorded with an iPhone in the trainer's room at Newman Outdoor. So, you know, sometimes you just work with what you've got, and that was certainly what we had, and no question about it. I want to thank Easton, though, again, for just making the time, because there are a lot of NFL quarterbacks that would not make the time for a little old Bison Report, that is for sure. And I want to thank our guys over at Rise Training and Fitness in Moorhead for continuing to sponsor the show. I want to thank Kelby again, and we want to thank you guys for sticking with us. We do apologize, like I said, about how long it's been since we were able to produce a show for you guys. But we're going to try and be a little bit more regular with this and try maybe get some more guests. Try to keep the video product going. Try to keep the audio product going. Because we know we're getting close.